The Holy Gospel today is taken from the 8th chapter of Mark. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, Pastor Beth said, you know, on the sabbatical, there was lots of stuff. And there was one particular place that taught me a lot, and it was the Mediterranean, the water in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. Specifically, we were on the Amalfi Coast, and the first day after we slept, we went to the beach, and it was overcast, like it might be here. So, but in Italy, that means nobody swims, except for people from Washington. So, you know, there may be four people. The next day, when it was sunny, there were 400 or 4,000. I mean, there was just a ton. But so I went into the water, and it's like, well, you know, I'll just go. And I was in there for 3 hours, just 3 hours straight. I think Beth wondered if I was just ever going to come out. Because that water was just cleansing, and it just took everything out and gave me a perspective of, I am a creature in creation, just bobbing along like everyone else. And it was a wonderful thing. And it cleared my mind, and it reminded me, well, about who I am. That's what this text is about. It's about identity. It's about who is Jesus and who are we. That's what this text talks about. And like it says in the blurb in the front of the text, it's a central text. Now, we know the rest of the story. The disciples and the people following him, and even Peter didn't, even though he said, "You're the Messiah," he probably had some different ideas of what then Jesus said right after that. Well, the Son of Man's going to suffer and it's going to be not good. And Peter's like, "Wait, what? That's not right." And Jesus says, "Yeah, that's the divine way. That's how it's going to turn out." And, you know, we know the rest of the story. That's what happened, and Jesus was resurrected. So we have that part of the story that they didn't have. Jesus was resurrected. There's new life. There's hope. Our hearts can be cleansed, like the song suggests. God always finds a way, always shows us. That's the promise. That's the gospel. Our hearts can be cleansed. As I was floating there, I was thinking, who am I? Who are we as St. Mark, as followers of Jesus? Who are we? And I was thinking about, before we left, there was this thing called tiny homes. Remember that? I may have mentioned that once or twice. I don't know if you knew that phrase. But what I was thinking about, it actually, as I was in the Mediterranean and then reflecting later, I thought about Lake Tahoe. Now, why do you make that connection? Well, we used to live there, and it's where I learned to ski. Never knew how to ski when we took a call in the church in Lake Tahoe, where there's 300 days of sunshine, and then the rest of the time it snows. So there's really no in between. So you better like snow, which, you know, I do, as a creative person. And then I learned to ski. Here's the key with skiing. You got to get skis that fit. A. Then you have to learn how to stand. Then you have to learn how to use the chairlift. Because to ski anywhere, you got to get somewhere. So that means you got to figure out how to get on the chairlift and then get off the chairlift. And through this process, if you want to ski, unless you're just amazing and do it the first time, which I haven't met anybody yet, but or they're lying, but you're going to fall. You're going to fail. It's going to happen. But if you have good instructors and friends, pretty soon you're on that little bunny slope. You know, that easy slope, and you got the pizza or however you do it now. And then pretty soon, hey, I can do this bigger slope, the medium slopes. The first time I went on a medium slope, I have a scar right here. My ski hit me. I had 17 stitches. I'm still skiing, but I'm just saying, you know, you got to go through failure to keep going. And eventually, you know, you have diamond. I mean, a black diamond. And then the toughest is two black diamonds. So in the 3.5 years that I was there, I learned that I can get to that two black diamond approach because I just kept working. And, you know, there's the first time you stand on that run, you're standing there and it's like, I could go back down the chair or I can do this, you know. And the first double black diamond run I did was at Kirkwood. And that's it. You have Heavenly, which is right on Lake Tahoe, and then you have Kirkwood, which is in the back. Beautiful snow, great. We had a person in the church who got me a free lift ticket so I could go. And he said, all right, we're going up to the most famous place here. It's called The Wall. And that's what it is. It's like if you go onto the balcony and I got to go down, I got to just jump. Is that what I have to do? I need a parachute. We got up. I'm taking the chair lift up and I'm just scared and scared and scared. It's like, I don't know if I can do this. And then when we get there, you know, Kerwin is with me and he says, all right, there it is. I'm going to show you. And he goes down and he's down, way down there. And he's just standing there and he's standing there and he's standing there and I'm standing there and he's standing there. And eventually I do it. And it was icy and it was tough, but I got down, I fell once, and then I kept going, and then the rest of the time was magnificent, and I did it a couple other times, but it was scary. But I could do it because I had done other things like it, and that was the next step. I think churches are like that as well. We have these paths that were given. And myself, coming back to tiny homes, for example, I'm an expert skier in homelessness. I've done it forever. From the time I was 20 till now, 53. That's 33 years of dealing with homelessness. Whether it was at PLU, taking a class and doing an internship at St. Leo's, or our first job was a live-in. I'm a double black diamond homeless skier. You know, any path, I'm ready to go. Let's do it. But now, here's the other thing. When people would come and visit us in Lake Tahoe, because, you know, since we lived there, people would come and they could stay where we are, so they had housing and they could go skiing. There were people who were not double black diamond skiers. I would never take someone in a place where they could not do it. You know, because it would be too, they're going to get hurt. You know, so you, as a good host, you bring them where they want. And some people come up to visit us and they don't even like to ski, but they don't mind the snow and the beauty of creation. I think that's how it is with churches. They're like with tiny homes, for example, because I'm a new person, just so you know. You'll see how different. I think Beth and I have switched bodies, just so you know. You'll see. You can decide that in a year. We'll do a reflection on that. Or no, we switch minds. I've still got the same body. Yeah. But churches are like that. We are given paths. We're given a ski map of the terrain. And every church is different. Some churches see this. Us, we are We are close to a black diamond, I would say, in what we do with homelessness. We are amazing on all the things we do. That's one great mark. We're a black diamond when it comes to music and creativity. That's what our church is known for. There are those things that some of us, hey, let's do this. Can we do more? Let's try this. You know, and there are some of us in the church who, yeah, this is my church, but I'm not ready to do that run. And there's all kinds of ways to talk about fear. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this gospel. He says, if you want to follow me, don't. It's got to be denying self, pick up your cross, don't be ashamed following me. Now that sounds very hard. That sounds like a double diamond run. But there's always grace. That's the key. Because we will fail. I failed in tiny homes because I didn't realize that skiing this terrain, going down that homeless path, that's easy for me. I can do that all day because it's what I've done. And I like doing it. When I follow Jesus in that way and deny myself in that way, I do gain life. Because when you show forgiveness to someone, because these are the denying, the cross picking up, denying yourself acts. Forgiveness, mercy, and love. Those require you to deny yourself. Those require you to pick up your cross. Sometimes it requires you to take the cross up from someone else. Because Jesus didn't carry his cross in Mark. Someone else did. And sometimes that's what it means to love and to show mercy and to offer forgiveness, is to take the cross up from someone else. I was just talking with a pastor and he's like, I really don't know how to deal with homelessness. Now he's been a pastor for 22 years and he's struggling. And well, he just hasn't skied the way I've skied. But as we talked, he knew. Because it's about love. It's about forgiveness. It's about mercy. And if you have a heart, God can work through that so that you can love and show forgiveness and mercy. It's how we're built. If you have children, you know how to love. If you don't have children, you know how to be a parent. There was a moment when we were in St. Peter's and we're getting ready to go to the Sistine Chapel, you know, and that, which is amazing, by the way. That's 50 sermons, but as we're going, it's a big herd. It's in the middle of summer. That's the wrong time to go, just to be clear, because there are thousands and thousands of people. But here's this couple. And they've got this giant stroller, five times bigger than this walker. Just that stroller was amazing, you know. And this baby was out, just not interested in the Sistine Chapel. And these parents, the dad has another baby in his arm. So he's carrying the stroller, and the woman is pulling it up. And, you know, the Vatican was built before there were elevators. And before, so there's so many stairs. We always stayed on the third floor, by the way, wherever we stayed. There's so many stairs in Europe, and they're tiny. So at some point, I just grabbed that stroller because this, and by the way, when I grabbed it, it's 95 degrees, so I'm sweating already, so I know it doesn't matter. And I go up those, and this thing is heavy. You know, I don't see how this woman can do it, but I help her. It was a simple act. The point isn't Eric's amazing. The point is love and mercy and forgiveness. The opportunities are all over. It's just as simple as grabbing a stroller and helping someone. Jesus says in the text, if you want to be my disciples, do this, that, and the other thing. The song we sang at the beginning of the service, and you'll hear it again, just as a reminder, when the bells do their second piece. The real question Jesus asks is, will you follow me? Will you follow me? Will you, Will you follow me to this place and lean in to your fear? Because I promise you, Jesus says, there's faith underneath that fear. When we lean into fear, there's faith. That's the gospel. When you lean into somebody and you love them, that's the gospel. When you lean into somebody and say, I'm sorry, that's forgiveness. When somebody's hungry and for no other reason than your heart says, I got to help that person, that's mercy. Forgiveness, love, mercy. Will you follow me? That's what Jesus is after. That's the gospel. That's the invitation. Thanks be to God. Amen.